Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 409, 65 degrees on this Friday, June 27th. I'm happy to bring on the 79th Treasurer of Pennsylvania. She also served 30 years in our United States Army Reserve, raising to the rank of full colonel with three deployments during the Gulf and Iraq War. Madam Treasurer, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Hey, Rob. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
No, always great to talk to you. Now, I saw the news articles come out, and then I saw you spoke about it, of our governor, Josh Shapiro's administration, quietly slipping in $1 million of taxpayer money into the U.S. Open golf tournament, which included some VIP perks, valet parking, luxury tents, and a pre-tournament golf outing. You want to tell us a little more about that?
Sure. So first, you know, I'm going to caveat it by saying I am all for economic development. And if it brings more money into the Commonwealth, we certainly need it. So that's fantastic. But what I do know is that taxpayers should not be picking up the tab for state employees and lobbyists to attend the U.S. Open. So my husband and I, like thousands of other people, went to the U.S. Open. And so I was pretty surprised when I saw that DCED, that's the Department of Community and Economic Development, had a tent fully stocked with booze and food. So I went into it just to check it out, and it was all employees and lobbyists. And again, I don't think that's a good use of taxpayer funds. And you know what shocked, you know how I found out about it? The friends that we were with, my husband and I, said, hey, I hope our taxpayer money isn't paying for that hospitality tent. So that's why I looked into it a bit. And yes, 60 tickets per day. So Rob, that's 420 tickets, three staff tickets, 25 parking passes, four players to play in a pre-championship golf outing, although I don't think they did that. And then, of course, they had the tent in the village on hole number 16.
Just incredible. You know, we've been talking about it this week because the governor was at the Pocono Racetrack. Again, another great event for Northeast Pennsylvania, for Pennsylvania as a whole. And during that event, which Pennsylvania was also sponsoring, he was talking about maybe taxpayers footing the bill for a new Eagles stadium or a new Steelers stadium and maybe getting a NASCAR track in the Philadelphia area. And it really raised my attention, and that's why we talked about it earlier in this week. And then I saw this article that you brought out about the U.S. Open. I mean, is our governor governing, or is he campaigning on the taxpayer's dime?
Well, speaking of Oakmont, the U.S. Open, you know, he had five members of his communication team there, and I don't think they were there promoting Pennsylvania. I think they were there promoting the governor. We also spent $250,000 of taxpayer money on the Pocono 400, which included on-site hospitality and promotion. And, you know, this is my thing. So my husband is a huge NASCAR fan, and NASCAR fans are always going to travel to wherever the race is. And, of course, the Pocono 400, which I've been to many dozens of times, is one of the most unique tracks in NASCAR. So, again, I don't think we need to spend taxpayer dollars on hospitality.
I've covered the Pocono race here live. I've been there. I've been in the press tent. I've been in their media circle for the past 2 years. I've never seen a governor there giving a press conference on the podium where usually it's the drivers of the races or pre-race and after, such as that. I've never seen a governor there to promote anything. And the race has been sold out pretty much the past couple of years. So
yeah,
it's been sold out 3 years in a row.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
So,
I had to skip this year, but I went the past 2 years, and it was definitely sold out.
Was there any issues where you stopped at all trying to get into this VIP tent that our taxpayer dollars were funding when you were out at the golf tournament?
No. I went right in. I took a picture. And, again, it was just a bit shocking to see lobbyists and, you know, and employees in there. And, I mean, my gosh, taxpayers didn't pay for me to attend the U.S. Open. So as a taxpayer myself, it was a bit offensive. And again, I'm all for economic development. And you know what? Getting back to the football teams, I love our Pennsylvania football teams. Heck, I was at the White House to celebrate the Eagles' victories. But I'm more concerned with our 13 million Pennsylvanians, although I love our 52 Eagles. And right now, This year alone, Rob, we're spending $3.5 billion more than what we're bringing in. And so I really think we have to get our finances in order, and we have to really look at what we're spending our money on. And I don't think hospitality makes the cut right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard more from our governor about a NASCAR race and U.S. Open and stadiums and such like that. Isn't our budget due in like a few days or Monday?
It is. And we know it's going to be late. And I think that they should all be, you know, if I were them, I would be at work and not, I wouldn't leave until you got the budget done. But that's not happening. And I don't know how long it will take. But the big issue here is that, he's dipping into the rainy day fund in next year's budget to the tune of $1.6 billion. So the rainy day fund, the intended purpose is not to be used to plug a hole in your budget. It's to use during, at times of economic distress, when the last thing you want to do is increase taxes or cut programs that Pennsylvanians rely on. And so I think they really need to, just like we expect Pennsylvania families to balance their budgets, I think the state should be doing the same.
Now, I did see, as regard to this U.S. Open and the spending of these funds on these items that are questionable, and rightfully so, I saw some Pennsylvania senators bring up some question. Have you, as of yet, sent any official request for information or a breakdown of details in regards to this situation that you saw with your own eyes?
Oh, yeah, I saw the invoices with my own eyes.
Okay.
And they're not 100% transparent. But I know just for the hospitality alone for Oakmont, it was $265,000.
Wow. And like you said, it was a VIP tent with open bar and food and such like that?
Exactly. And they were state employees, five of the governor's communications team, lobbyists. I mean, folks that I'm sure don't expect us to, foot the bill for them to attend the U.S. Open.
Was the governor there himself? Did you bump into him?
I did not bump into him because I went Saturday, but I was told the governor was there Friday.
Okay, I just think it would have been very fitting if you bumped into each other and say, hey, I didn't even know we had this here.
Well, what's amazing is that I did it. And had it not been pointed out by the friends that my husband and I were with, I probably wouldn't have noticed. And the first thing they said was, I hope that's not our taxpayer dollars paying for that.
Can your office request information on to who invites went out to who in regards to this, since it was paid by taxpayers?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that one of the senators has already asked for a list of attendees, and I did see that he did get a response back. So that's how I know there are at least two dozen staffers were
okay
there. And then, of course, I went in and I recognized some of the lobbyists, so I know there were lobbyists there.
Yeah, and again, we're speaking to 79th Treasurer of Pennsylvania, Stacey Garrity. You've done some great things as our Commonwealth Treasurer of Pennsylvania. One of your projects that you really took full steam on when you first got in there was the unacquired funds that are people who live in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that and what you've done to kind of grow that program.
Sure. So we upgraded the system to make it super easy for people to get their money back. And so just this past year, Rob, we broke a brand new record. So Treasury's been running this program since 1993. So we just hit a record of $278 million returned back to Pennsylvanians. So we have $5 billion in unclaimed property. And so what unclaimed property is, it could be tangible items from abandoned safe deposit boxes. It's typically money. So forgotten bank accounts, checking accounts, uncashed checks. It could be old, insurance policies, and so much more. And what people have to keep in mind is this money does not belong to the state. It belongs to the hardworking Pennsylvanians that earn it. So I've really tried to promote the heck out of it, and that's why we've been breaking so many records. And then if you have a minute, I can tell you about Pennsylvania Money Match, which passed unanimously in the House and the Senate. And what Pennsylvania Money Match does, it allows Treasury to proactively return up to $500 of unclaimed property to a single owner. So can you imagine? We eliminated red tape from government. How great is that? So last week, we sent 40,000 checks out to people that probably didn't even know they had unclaimed property, totaling $9.2 million. And we're doing this every single quarter. And so, you know, in the past, you had to go in and make a claim. So now we can proactively give it back. So no filling out forms, you know, no need to request it. And so, you know, I want people to know this is a real program. It's their money. And cash the check if they get a check.
Yeah, great, great program. I've seen it really push since your tenure at the Treasury Department here in Pennsylvania. And it's great that people are getting the money that's owed to them. It's a lot of times connecting those two together through all that red tape you're talking about to streamline that and simplify that is a great step on your part.
Well, 1 out of 10 Pennsylvanians has unclaimed property. And you know what? In times when it's still, you know, groceries are still expensive. Gas is still a little bit on the high side. So a few $100 can go a long way to help a family that might be struggling.
Yes, yes, no doubt. And again, I just want to touch on your 30 years in the U.S. Army Reserves. This is something, you know, I knew you served in the military, but I didn't know to the extent. And having two active duty officers in the military, one in the Navy, one in the Marine Corps now, when I saw you in an event in your uniform with a mutual friend, Senator Doug Mastriano, in his uniform, I actually snapshotted it and sent it to my daughter, who's in the basic school now as a Marine Corps officer. Thank you for your 30 years of service and looking back on it, rising to the rank of full bird colonel. Tell us a little bit about that before we close out.
Oh, my gosh. So, yes, I served 30 years, and it was the greatest honor of my lifetime to serve our country. And had I not hit my mandatory retirement date, I would never have run for treasurer. I would still be serving because, again, serving our country was and is the honor of my lifetime. So my last deployment was in 2008, 2009, and I was acting battalion commander at Camp Buka in southern Iraq, where we had 7,000 detainees. I had 225 on death row. I had the special housing unit, and I had 1,200 soldiers. And we were the very first internment facility to have zero escape attempts and zero abuse allegations. And so, it was just truly an honor to serve.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for your continued service as the treasurer of Pennsylvania here. And I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today, Madam
Absolutely.
Treasurer.
And thank your daughter for her service.
I appreciate you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. If you missed our interview with State Treasurer Stacey Garrity, that'll be up on our social media and podcast by the end of the day. So make sure you can listen to it there or share it with those who didn't see it. So, we were talking about it in real time yesterday, how a lot of our areas were flooding. And What's a sad part of that is Scranton, where a lot of this flooding took place, is without a DPW administrator or a acting DPW administrator as per their last city council meeting, or a deputy DPW administrator. There appears to be other people filling in when they can. So here's the thing there. If this job doesn't need to be filled, why do we have it? If you can go so long and no one's officially doing the duties of it, which they said, you know, somebody he's filling in here and there when they, you know, if need be. Okay, so do we need a full-time position then in the city of Scranton? I understand it's an important position, but and what if that person, whoever that person is that fills in from time to time, what are they not doing for where they work? That being said, I saw some pictures today of some blocked up storm drains filled with mud and debris that obviously could have caused to some of the flooding. Improper maintenance of where the water drains is a main factor. We've seen time and time again videos all over the place where there's flooding and somebody comes with a rake and cleans the debris from a storm drain and all of a sudden the water starts disappearing. My oh my, what a preventative maintenance and regular routine maintenance can do for you. But once the rain starts falling, especially like it did yesterday, things are bound to happen and floods happen. I mean, there were SUVs that were stuck in too high of water. And again, that turnaround, don't drown, is not, you know, a slick slogan just to say. because Scranton firefighters needed to go out to rescue motorists yesterday, and they did. So, especially with electric vehicles and everything else these days, you don't need to risk our men and women first responders. You don't need to risk yourself. You don't need to risk your property. You know, that's why when I said if you don't need to be out yesterday, don't go out. There's no sense in it. Unless you have something that's totally cannot be changed, there's no need to put yourself at risk. I mean, driving down to the studio yesterday was treacherous. I mean, there were sheets of water coming on the oncoming traffic lane over 81 into the left lane of 81 South, just blinding you for a few seconds. And if a car stopped in front of you, if you were following that close behind, that's how these accidents happen. This here where people just getting stuck. Oh, I have an all-wheel drive vehicle, or my vehicle's high. Oh, the water's not that deep. Stop making excuses because it's your car that's going to be flooded. It's your car that's going to be damaged. It's you that's going to be without because your insurance company's going to say, why'd you drive through it? Yeah, we're not going to cover this. And then what? And you're putting our first responders at risk to where they're dealing with getting you out of a situation that you got yourself into where if something else more tragic happens, you know, they're not there to respond to that in a timely manner. So kudos to our firefighters who are out there rescuing motorists. It happened quite a few times yesterday. And let's get a little up to speed on proper maintenance and cleanings of our drainage infrastructure. You know, we constantly talk about how they need upgrades. Well, if you took care of them better, maybe they'd be in better shape too. It's 4:30, almost 4:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Normally, during this segment, we honor the heroes across the Commonwealth who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement on this day. If you're just joining the show or you haven't been listening since the start of the show, I lost a dear friend of over 20 years today, 22 years to be exact, and it was deafening to read the words, the letters, and try and make sense of what they were telling me when I got notified this morning that this had happened. And this person was a dear brother and friend to my family, mentor to all three of my children, and just an icon of the community and our nation. And you know, who it is not important at this time. My point is to let the family grieve and deal with the very same news that they got today as well. But, you know, I started off the show today with a song from an individual named Pete Scoble, the Pete Scoble Band. Pete is a United States Navy SEAL. He was a lieutenant commander in the SEAL teams. He's retired now. He's out of the Navy. He lives in the mountains of, I believe, Montana, in a nice ranch and enjoys his skiing. Deals with some traumatic injuries that he's had during his combat tours. He was the commander of a lot of missions that you know about that I can't really talk about. Very popular missions that movies have been made about. And just an outstanding individual. When he got out and he was dealing with TBI and issues from his injuries and trying to get a grasp of being a civilian again after getting out of his combat tours, he turned to music. He was always a musician. He loved the mountains of skiing, so he came out with a couple of albums, and the albums really touched me because the music is very poignant. They're very pointed on what it is, and we started off the show today with one of his songs. So instead of our normal, you know, Let's Talk Heroes today, honoring our police here, I figured I would do it in one of the best ways that I know how, through music, with another one of his songs. And this song is called Unfinished Business. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 4:47, 66 degrees on this Friday, June 27th. It's time for Today in History, but we're going to hang out with Today in History for a second because we have Lorraine on the phone here with a poem from Hazleton. And since it is history, we could wait on that for a little bit and get Lorraine on first. Lorraine, how are you?
Hanging in.
All right.
Sorry for the loss of your friend.
Thank you very much.
I wrote this poem about a month ago. And actually, that one time I had called up here, you know, and was telling you about my friend who was older than me, and she was like a mother to me. And I know I remember I was crying. But anyway, this one is called Gone but not forgotten. We've all experienced the loss of a loved one or a dear friend. As time passes, the pain usually becomes less and less. Oh, the void will always remain, and naturally, there will be that sense of emptiness. Sometimes a song will trigger a memory, whether it is happy or sad. I guess it depends on what comes to mind. Hopefully, your thoughts will probably be glad. Don't give up if you feel sad, because everyone handles loss in a different way. Some cry, while others may laugh. Then there are those who faithfully pray. When all is said and done, loss is something that we have to endure. It is not always easy to accept, but we can escape it, that's for sure.
Thank you for that, Lorraine. That was a sweet poem.
Pardon?
Sweet poem, especially on a day like this.
Yep, yes. I was thinking about loss, and, you know, the pain becomes less and less, but it's never gone.
Yep.
It's always in the recesses of your heart.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. Well, thank you for calling us today. Hopefully you have a restful, relaxful weekend. The heat is not as much as it's been, so that's a good thing, I'm sure. Nice, cool nights.
Listen, the heat was at least of my problems. It's been living hell the last couple months for me in a lot of ways, so it's been unbearable for me, you know, like, you know, the heartache comes in different ways.
Yeah.
And different forms. So.
Well, hopefully it changes for the better for you and
oh,
you have a little
do
more
I
easier
ever.
Times.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine.
Same for you. Bye now.
So today in history, what do we have? 1950, U.S. enters the Korean War. 2 days after the North Korea invaded South Korea, President Harry S. Truman ordered U.S. air and naval forces to support South Korea under the United Nations flag. This marked the beginning of America's full military involvement in the Korean War. 1978, the U.S. Supreme Court rules on affirmative action. In Regents of the University of California versus Bakke, the Supreme Court ruled that racial quotas in college admission are unconstitutional, but that race can be considered as one of many factors. This landmark decision shaped affirmative action policies for decades. 2003, America's longest-serving senator dies, Storm Thurmond, controversial figure and former segregationist who later renounced his earlier views, died at the age of 100. He served in the U.S. Senate for over 47 years, making him one of the longest-serving senators in history. 1862, little military history, the Battle of Gaines Mills, Civil War, part of the seven-day battle during the Peninsula Campaign. It was General Robert E. Lee's first major victory as commander of the Army of Northern Virginia. It was one of the bloodiest single days in early Civil War history. 1893, New York stock market crashed. The Panic of 1893, it was called. On this day, major stock crash worsened the economic depression of the 1890s, leading to bank failures and widespread unemployment across the U.S. 1985, U.S. Route 66 is officially decommissioned. One of the most famous roads in America, Route 66 was removed from the U.S. highway system, symbolizing the end of an era in American travel and car culture. You can still travel that route, though. Some notable birthdays today. Helen Keller, 1880. Bob Akishin, 1927, better known as Captain Kangaroo, and beloved figure of children's television for decades. And Ross Perot, 1930, billionaire businessman and independent presidential candidate in 1992 and 1996, known for shaking up American political landscape. It is 4:53 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. Just before the 5 o'clock hour here, I listened to this whole album headed up to Saratoga Springs last weekend. It was great. Forget sometimes how great some of the different songs are on this album, Moving Pictures. So it's budget season, and the Pennsylvania legislators are feeling the squeeze of potential cuts from the federal government. So are the state's leading universities. Yet as the system that has made the Commonwealth a destination of choice for medical and academic research is transforming, lawmakers maintain a split focus on the state's higher education. On one hand, the state is responsible for the Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education, or PASHE, a network of 14 universities that provide college degrees in every region of the state for the same rate of tuition, which is currently frozen at $7,700 for in-state tuition students. Then there are the state-related universities. The four schools include Penn State University, the University of Pittsburgh, Temple University, and Lincoln University. These institutions receive funding directly from the state and offer reduced tuition for in-state students, also, though, at a higher cost than our in-state universities. They operate independently and have the endowment to prove it. Penn State currently holds $4.78 billion endowment. You heard me correct. Penn State holds a $4.78 billion endowment, a figure that has more than doubled since 2016. So they're doing pretty well. Pittsburgh University, University of Pitt, $5.8 billion endowment, more than Penn State. That's hard to believe, but it's true. And that has grown 66% in the same span. Temple reported a 10.35 endowment increase in 2024 alone, bringing it to more than $960 million. And as of 2023, Lincoln Endowment was reported only a measly $54 million. Now, in contrast, Westchester University, one of the PASHE schools in the southeast region of the state, is considered one of the top PASHE schools and has a reputation for its strong financial management. Its endowment was reported at $61.1 million in 2023. Slippery Rock University, another PASHE top performer, is situated just north of Pittsburgh. Slippery Rock reported its endowment at $47.9 million the same year. On the other side of PASHE financial spectrum, the much smaller Cheyenne University came in at just $1.7 million with its endowment. Now, Cheyenne and Lincoln represent the state's only two historic black colleges and universities, despite their historic stature having been established before the Civil War took place. They demonstrate the wide expanse of financial pictures in both state systems. The disparities make it difficult to get a comprehensive view of Pennsylvania's higher education landscape. Nevertheless, they come to the state's Appropriations Committee in two groups, PASHE and state-related, for an annual tug-of-war over additional funding. Now, listen, I love our state universities like Penn State, Pitt, and the others. But we have a state system of 14 universities that do a great job at a much more reasonable cost for our sons and daughters. My daughter is a graduate of a PASHE school. Used to be Clarion, now it's Penn West. She's now living in one of the best beach communities, making six figures. So it is doable at a very reasonable rate, graduated with no debt. So let's put the priority where it needs to be, and that is our own state system that should take priority here, regardless of how good the other schools are also. It's 5 o'clock here at WILK.